What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
It's Future Dan, episode 158 of the Patriot Power Hour. I'm here with the Breaker of Banksters.
You just crushed everyone's eardrums. How you guys doing out there?
Speak
October 26th, 2021. Yes, definitely speak into the microphone. Don't scream. No, I'm just kidding,
it's
man.
It's hard to get the sound right. But this is amateur podcasting, so.
People already get pissed about us with our Fight Club intro. That blows your eardrums out. But hey, we're not playing games here. It's time to wake up.
You get what you pay for.
There you go. Nothing. Exactly. For free.
Freeware.
It is October 26, 2021.
And we are live on Tuesday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Tonight, the heat map that we will discuss next segment is relatively sparse, Ben. I've been watching the news week to week since we started, right? Week after week, but especially a call you made this past summer that perhaps this fall something big could go down. Well, it's an interesting heat map tonight. Without getting into the headlines, just looking at the overview, the temperature of the news that is out there, we got two black on reds like happening, like not to be disputed. They're happening, or evidence of them happening is now emerged. Some of these things have happened in the past, but now's the time to talk about them. Patriot Power Hour, we're going to do that tonight. But what else are you seeing going on, Ben? I got something for you, unless you want to lead with a topic of your own.
Well, again, we will get into the news blitz in the second segment. I don't see much tonight about China invading Taiwan like we had
seen
several weeks over and over. Very hot, and it's cooled off. Not meaning that's gone away. But for whatever reason, the feelers and, you know, all credit to you for all the work you put into finding the news articles. It's not that much going on right now. There, we got maybe an article or two minor, but that's kind of gone. But you know what's not gone is COVID, is vaccinations, is health experimentation. That is well represented. And one of the most common themes since we've started the show almost 4 years ago, just the crazy amount of news censorship and attacks on freedom and freedom of the press, freedom of speech as well. We're seeing that. So, I mean, it may be kind of quiet, but what the articles that are up there are all really intense. So we're going to be able to do some good deep dives, I think.
So obviously out of Congress, we haven't seen a spending bill, an infrastructure bill, a tax bill, whatever they hope to have forced through this fall is seem to have slowed down a bit with senators in Arizona and West Virginia rejecting some of the more radical plans that had been attempted. But since our last episode, I've become accustomed to a new concept in taxation, the taxation of unrealized capital gains. Please explain to me, if passed, what the not even long term, the pretty damn near-term effect of that of taxing unrealized gains would be.
Oh, man. There's just so many ramifications. It's hard to break it all down. But the initial the initial knee-jerk reaction would be for a lot of people to sell ASAP. That would crash everything out pretty quick. So that's one area to look at. A lot of taxes would be generated, like a one-time windfall, and then it would be the destruction of your tax base thereafter.
What kind of seething mental defectivity do you have to walk this planet with to think that you can tax unrealized paper money, paper gains, right? Like, the entire idea is you don't realize it until you actually sell and have the wealth. If I own a stock and it's going to, you know, some astronomical level and I get a tax bill for it, but before I decide to sell, it's not no longer worth what I paid for it. What do you do? Just adjust your tax? You get a rebate on your taxes later? What kind of accounting would that even work? Or do you just owe the taxes whether you sold in time or not?
It's really goofy. I don't even know if it's actually been tested in this world. Definitely.
Yeah. And our Senate is talking about it.
I don't even know if it's been tested like on a banana republic. Maybe. It's more just straight up confiscation of wealth. That's, you know, it can't really go any other way about it.
But it's not real yet. It's not even, you can't confiscate something that hasn't been sold. It's just speculative gain.
It's almost like, no, you're absolutely right. But if you had a bunch of grain in your silo and they're just like, hey, I'm taxing that grain before you even sell it. And then all the grain spoils, but you still owe the tax bill. You know, that could happen. You could lose all these unrealized gains down the line, but still have a tax bill in this scenario too.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
And if not at the full extreme, at least it would hurt you.
The silo grain parallel would be the price of grain on the, you know, on the day you filled the silo was $1. And then it shoots up to $5. And you get a tax bill for $2.50 because they're taking half of your unrealized grain, yet it's still in the silo, so you haven't sold it yet. And then it drops to 50 cents.
Right.
Now you got to sell it at 50 cents when you know. And do you still owe the taxes?
Now all of a sudden you have a loss. And yeah, that's, you know, it all comes down to this. There'll be a lot more accountants and a lot more lawyers make a lot more money and a lot more loopholes and a lot more scams and offshoring of stuff. And it's just going to take it all to another level. You know, the very, very rich that they're allegedly targeting will still get away with it. But the middle class or whatever's left of it will get smashed, you know, for sure.
I don't know if this idea might be stillborn. It might be that stupid.
It's pretty much as dumb as like the $1 trillion platinum coin. Yeah. But I mean, the fact that these are people with doctorates and people,
constitutional officers elected to the United States Senate.
And those folks as well, like professionals and politicians and scientists, data economic scientists, even talk about these things. It's pretty ridiculous.
Mass hysteria, Ben. I equate it to something that a society like the Plymouth Bay Colony must have gone through during the Salem witch trial frenzy. Like a community just completely loses its mind for a period of time. Altogether, they do. They have public forums and they have trials, and it's just baseless and just in hindsight, an ignorant period in your country's history. That's what the 19 months, it's been 19 months since the March 2020 lockdown began to crush the economy based on a flu that at its most dangerous is, you know, only a couple multiples more dangerous than the common flu.
Yeah. Well,
it's a hysteria that you could, you know, taxing unrealized gains and people talking seriously about it. That's like prosecutors in the Salem witch trial bringing evidence before the court. Yeah. It's, when this passes, I don't know. I just hope we don't steer into a massive disaster on the way of coming out of it.
Well, you know, they'll always try to say that they're targeting only the very wealthy. And if you make less than $400,000, your taxes won't go up or whatever sort of thing they try to say. But trust me, the tax base, and that means really what funds the country, will be totally eviscerated if something like this goes in. It'll have, like you said, there'll be a lot of money coming in at first, and then all of a sudden no one will do business in America anymore. Everyone will sell and everything will crash and there won't be anything else to tax. It'll be, you know, there's so many analogies to it, but You're killing the golden goose in the end.
Is that kind of, if they could figure out a way to tax unrealized gains and limited it only to, you know, for example, during the New Deal, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's presidency, there were laws passed that you had to have and demonstrate some, you know, net worth above, far above the average amount of people in the 1930s in order to even, you know, own part of a, you know, be invested in a hedge fund, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. They had like wealth requirements.
Yeah. So even if they put a wealth requirement on unrealized capital gains, would it properly be viewed as a de facto transfer of wealth to anybody who doesn't have any equities that have gained in the market? If you don't own stock, it effectively, or is that a bad parallel? If you don't own stock, you still ain't got squat. And now these people are getting incentivized to sell everything they got immediately.
Well, that'll be the reality. What they'll try to say is, hey, now we're rolling out a universal basic income. So we're stealing from the rich, giving to the poor. But that'll stoke inflation and, again, destroy the economic base, less people trying to find jobs, trying to raise themselves up. I mean, looking for that. That's the economic engine of America over the last couple hundred years, is people being like, I'll do anything. I'm going to grind my ass 80 hours a week for 20 years to make it. And some of them do. Some of them don't, though. It's kind of dog eat dog. But that's also produced the most wealth in the history of civilization. All of human civilization, I suppose. But they're very close to already killing the golden goose with how much taxes they have and how much regulation, and especially in certain states. Trust me, I work in insurance, and the difference between operating in California compared to Arkansas with regard to regulation and taxes is, like, unbelievable. I mean, to do work in California is almost impossible unless you have, you know, you're a Facebook or you're some big tech, or you're just making so much money hands over fist. I mean, you can still do some business there. But generally, small businesses are already done in California, just from the work comp costs and other just regulatory taxes. So that'll just continue to get worse. And eventually, it'll hit a breaking point. We'll see worse supply chain issues, worse labor dislocations, more social strife. And, yeah, it's almost like they're doing it on purpose.
It's pretty clear to me they are.
Think so. They're trying to make it be like, oh, we are trying to help the poor, steal from the rich, give to the poor. We'll give you more stimulus. In the end, though, I think it comes to this. We're already taxing like $3 trillion a year in America, but we're spending like $5 or $6 trillion. We're borrowing all of that, okay? And the Federal Reserve's monetizing all that. So even if we double our tax income by something crazy like this, and many other tax rate increases would be needed, we're still not even paying for what we're spending. So why is no one looking at the spending side of the equation? Of course they never will, because then the Ponzi scheme collapses.
Yeah, we'll get senators like Rand Paul spoken out about it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's
one of the only, but there's a couple at least. And for posterity's sake, it's not going to do much, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe in the history books, if they, you know, of course, the victor writes the history, so who knows who's going to win. But
so I think we're going to take our time, go through the heat map slowly, only 12 articles, and we'll be right back with this heat map blitzkrieg by Mr. Ben the Breaker Bankers Cochran after this break.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. the real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Deliver, never leave.
Patriot Power Hour 158, October 26th, the last episode of October 2021. Let's crank it out. FutureDanger.com is where you can follow along. Chicago to give 5,000 low-income households $500 per month each with a federal funding program. So the feds are coming in. Given as a pilot program, 5,000 low-income households, $500 per month.
COVID emergency spending.
COVID emergency spending. All right. Fully actualize SHT level censorship on the site under news blatantly censored. The CDC may change the definition of fully vaccinated as boosters roll out. We'll talk a lot about that after this quick news blitz. Someone we've been talking about for quite a while, the boosters and slippery slope. Moving on to some geopolitical security issues. Well, defending the border is an important part of what it means to be a country. And border patrol arrests shattering all records at the southern border this year. In the meanwhile, inside the U.S., immigration arrests are plummeting. So record amount of people trying to get in, getting caught, but also getting through. But record minimum low of folks within the U.S. being deported, being arrested for being illegal immigrants. Just like Biden said he would do. He said, come to the border, and that's what they're doing. Another big caravan coming as we speak. Five Russian jets buzz Alaska airspace. Low level, but still something to keep an eye on. National Counterintelligence and Security Center warns of efforts by China to collect genetic data. Moving on to some economics. Definitely jumping into this one later on. 1 million properties in mortgage forbearance, highest number since the financial crisis of 2008-2009. What is mortgage forbearance? It's the last step before foreclosure. It's kind of like, hey, we're lucky we're not kicking you out. Giving them a little break because of COVID generally. Although a lot of those eviction notices were rescinded. And we'll get a little more into the details. I want to read a little more into that.
You got to check that. I'm not sure if that's 2008 or 2020.
The 2020 financial crisis?
Nevertheless, mortgage forbearances are high right now.
Yeah. We'll definitely read into that. National average gas price per gallon, $3.39. The host and the back channels, as an NBC guy likes to call it. Posting some gas prices near them. We saw some much higher than $3.39, actually, depending on where you're at, but not everywhere. But long story short, $3.39 per gallon is the national average and is in the red zone, meaning danger. Danger Will Robinson. High level. This keeps creeping up. We'll see if it keeps moving. Inflation coming right at you. Fourth column. Related to health, nature, and these days just at least half COVID. Well, COVID-19 vaccine mandates are surviving a lot of court challenges. They're still early in the ball game, but a lot of courts are keeping this, you know, going against the people who want to fight against the mandates. So COVID-19 vaccine mandates surviving nearly all court challenges to date. Taiwan shaken by 6.5 magnitude earthquake. Their semiconductor and chip manufacturing actually had to go offline for a little while. And already a lot of those shortages. So, you know, a little earthquake taking them offline only going to exacerbate the problem. And federal health agencies involved in cruel medical experiments on HIV-infected orphans. This is another one of the actualized highest level of danger and just, hey, on its face, it's happening. Federal health agencies involved in cruel medical experiments on HIV-infected orphans.
Human experimentation has been exposed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not conspiracy theory. Actually, you know, fully documented.
Article out of the New American. Saw it today. Yeah, yeah. HIV-infected orphans whose parents were, you know, incapacitated or killed by the disease, and they had the disease too, probably born with it mostly. Yeah, terrible, terrible attempts at, you know, testing drugs. This is all out of National Institute of Health. And yeah. Fauci's outfit, right? So we're seeing the evidence of it today. Shouldn't do much at all to bolster your confidence in any of these authorities. We're talking bad effects. We're blood diseases, anemia, muscle wasting, liver swelling, all kinds of side effects from the AZT drug that was being tested. And we're talking this news, it's actualized, but the reports are finally becoming public from 14, 15 years ago. And, you know, according to this report, up to 200 children were killed.
Yeah, this is between like 92 and 2000 something. There are millions and millions in federal funding. We'll just read it straight from the report. According to the report, doctors would need to force children to take the drugs against, often need to force children to take the drugs against their will. Once taken into custody, children became subjects of the sponsored drug trials. They were these drugs were known to cause genetic mutation, organ failure, bone marrow death, body deformations, brain damage, and fatal skin disorders. If the children refuse the drugs, they're held down and force-fed. Should they continue to resist, they're taken to Columbia University Presbyterian Hospital, where a surgeon puts a plastic tube through their abdominal wall into their stomachs, where the drugs are injected directly into their intestines. And as you said, as a result, over 200 children were reported to die. So obviously, these orphans, HIV positive, they were already very sick, had a lot of issues, but this, I don't think you can justify this as, oh, we were trying to help them. Sure doesn't seem that way, and it's fallen. It's coming right after the whole puppies with the flies. I know people are a lot more worried about that generally than children. It's unfortunately, but
so what? Another hit comes coming. Though. Getting away with this under Clinton Bush.
It looks like possibly Bush, Clinton, Bush, both Bushes. I think 92. I mean, maybe Clinton.
Interesting article from New American because it's exposing, medical tyranny has been with us for a long time. It just used to only be applied to, HIV-infected orphans, which obviously is a lot easier to impose upon. You talked about Overton window a lot, right? Whatever bureaucrats decided this was, a good idea, a couple decades ago, well, their heirs are running these federal health organizations now.
Yeah. Oh, this is exactly Fauci's. It's not just the National Institute of Health, but it's the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, which is more specific. And that really is Fauci's wheelhouse. So this is all them. 1997 through 2004, funded by Fauci's outfit, as well as pharmaceutical companies such as GlaxoSmithKline, Pfizer, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Merck, Genentech, Biocine, Microgensis. So, you know, I'm sure some of the scientists and doctors were like, well, we're trying our best to save these children, and maybe there'll be some bad effects, but this looks pretty bad. Anyway, so.
It's important we recognize these things and talk about them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's proof positive, human experimentation. We got to change this regime. We got to knock out of power anybody who lets that become real.
Yeah, and I was just looking through, just for the fun of it, Fauci's Wikipedia, and they talk all about how in the late 80s and early 90s he was involved with HIV research. So this isn't just tangentially related. This is directly related. I mean, this is like probably one of his bigger projects, I would suspect, or under his purview.
Want to check out that mortgage article?
Let's do it.
$1 million in mortgage forbearance, highest number since financial crisis. And yeah, they're going back to 2008. Okay. So we're not even talking about in the last 19 months, all the accounts that went into forbearance and one would have thought came back, that number came lower as people started to repay after the lockdowns were lifted. No. This is the highest since 2008, and that's no good.
No.
Real estate markets melting, you know, banks collapsing. It hasn't been that long to remember where that got us. So maybe that's your crisis in the brewing. Could come at us from real estate again.
Man, there's just so many ways for it to hit, but I feel like it's just the water behind the dam just keeps growing, and this is a huge, huge issue. By itself, it would be a problem, but with everything else combined, it's just horrible. The current rate of delinquencies at all stages is 3.5%. That's historically high. 3.5% of homes and residential properties include townhomes and condos, with mortgages. I presume. But, well, okay, with mortgages. 3.5% of them are delinquent, but they're not going on the foreclosure market right now because of this assistance, different assistance programs, and some of the lenders themselves don't want to foreclose on all these people because they know it'll have a chain reaction. But these programs are starting to wind down, so it's going to have a reality soon, or there's going to be billions more bailouts for these folks. This isn't free money for anybody, so.
Free money for the generation alive today.
Well, okay.
It's labor for generations unborn.
Yeah, it's
taxation for labor for generations unborn. In theory, if it were even paybackable.
Yeah.
Well, what's that term? So, you know, another sign that, you know, right under this very thin ice that we are skating on, is a deep abyss. And that kind of forbearance news, you know, bad mortgage news, is like crack, crack, crack right across the top of that ice.
And capitalism and free market can be a rough go. And I think they actually put it here pretty straightforward. And I kind of believe this too. You don't want to see families undergo the process, says the person being quoted in here, Yun. The foreclosures, we don't want to see families undergo that process. But in the current state where we're at historic low in terms of choices and the housing market's on fire, right? There are ready buyers ready to snatch up those homes. That's how free market's supposed to work, you know? You're supposed to have, if you took out too much and you can't afford it, but someone else can come in, make that an actual asset that's still producing income rather than dead weight. These taxpayer bailouts. Yeah, but saying that, you know, I'm probably on a list for being very, very evil person. Let's just say that, for saying that people might need to be foreclosed for not being able to pay their bill.
It's evil to not let the market function freely. That's what's evil.
Hey, man.
And the longer you delay it, the worse it's going to be for everybody, and it's still the intervention of the New Deal, of the 113th Congress that set up the Federal Reserve and the income tax, passing that amendment into the Constitution. Those generations are responsible for what we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. It was a bad idea then. It hasn't gotten better after 100 years.
No. All right, guys. We'll be back with the second half of Patriot Power Hour. Got a lot more to talk about. Stick with us.
Millions of Americans are still not protected against COVID-19. And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation. Surgeon General advisories are reserved for urgent public health threats. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Health misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation takes away our freedom. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks. Tell me where the freaks at. What we call disinformation. Tell me where the freaks at. We need an all-of-society approach. Freaks at. Checking sources before they share. Tell me where the freaks at. If you're not sure, don't share. Today, the Rockefeller Foundation is announcing a $13.5 million commitment. This is just the beginning. We expect more from our technology companies. We get that bass thumping, people jumping all over the world. Take action against misinformation super spreaders. Got that freak flow, freak show. Welcome to the circus. Bringing individuals and organizations together. Let the leaders lead, preachers preach. Welcome to the circus. Nearly every death we are seeing now from COVID-19 could have been prevented. Did we do this for a purpose just to keep that fire burning? Kids are depending on all of us to get vaccinated. And we don't need no water, let that mother burn. There are more and more patients with COVID-19 who never got vaccinated. Because they were misled by misinformation. Healthier information environment. There is disinformation that is coming from bad actors. Not sharing is caring. Misinformation literally costing us our loved ones. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Technology companies have a particularly important role. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Much, much more has to be done, and we can't wait. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. It's costing people their lives. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor.
Tell me where the freaks at. We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. We're helping get trusted content out there. COVID community courts. Robust enforcement strategy. Information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. The information spreads too quickly. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks up to the floor. We have empowered, engaged, funded local voices to combat misinformation that's traveling online or traveling, unfortunately, out of the mouths of elected officials.
are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. Second half of this show. We kind of got a thought experiment. I really want to hear what people think about this, so I want you to get back to me either via email or Twitter. All right? Both of those are in the description of the podcast. Twitter's at BanksterBreaker. Email's dethronethebanksters@gmail.com. Let me know if this is a great idea or a stupid idea. Ready?
I'm ready.
I've been in the market, so we were just actually talking about the 1 million properties or mortgages in foreclosure, and I'm kind of in the market for a bug-out location. Now, am I going to make it kind of a half vacation cabin, half bug-out, or am I going to buy just land, maybe with a well or running water on the land, right? I'm kind of not sure. I'm looking around, all this stuff. But I came up with, maybe it's a little off the wall, but maybe it's a damn good idea. I want your opinion, future Dan, and I want the listeners. What if, when stuff hits the fan,
yeah,
instead of running off to your own property that you own, that's easily searchable, then everyone knows that you own it, or run into the national forest, right, or some random park, how about you go to some land listed on Zillow or on some real estate listing? And what I mean is, I've been looking mostly for 20 acres or less, but there's 50, 100 plus acre plots available.
Undeveloped.
And undeveloped. And if the real estate market really falls apart and no one's buying new homes and no one's developing new major land, pieces of land in the wilderness,
and everything's gone berserk, you have to bug out.
And you have to bug out? Would you rather go to some random forest, or would you rather go to private land?
Well, everybody's going to say they'd rather go to a place they have prepared, right? Their bug out location. If you don't have one of those, and you're new to Prepper Broadcasting Network, and you hear people speak of these, and you don't have the wherewithal to have this ability to, but in the event that you're urban or suburban and you have to leave your city, these could be choices. I wouldn't recommend going to any place that has built up property.
Right.
I mean, now you're on somebody's land squatting in their buildings. Not optimal. But undeveloped land that was for sale, perhaps by development corporations that are probably
owned by Blackstone anyway or something.
They weren't individualized to any of the owners of that firm. So
yeah,
what are the chances that they'll be there?
Mm-hmm.
I also don't recommend going to such a place and cutting down the forest and building a cabin and start farming.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, this
not.
Is not a plan to go homestead unless things got, so very bad that property records won't even matter anymore.
Yeah, good point.
Then we're in pure dystopia. But yeah, for short term, get to the land, get off grid. If you're capable of sustaining in a pure survival mode, right? This is camping, mm-hmm, right? This is foraging. This is hunting.
Exactly.
This is whatever you've cached for food. And it probably involves starving and suffering somewhat. But if you just got to get out, maybe you spoke out about the regime before it all came down, and you're sought after, right? We saw if you're old enough and if you read the history books, what the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc was like. And we know, and we met Maria Jones when we did our Azure Blue and talked to her about growing up in Romania at the end of the Iron Curtain, right? And what it takes to survive when a country goes communist or whatever social welfare euphemism you'll use this century. But if you got to get away from that, maybe this is a plan. Maybe two or three that you've identified.
Well, that's the
thing. You can move about to.
I think you could pick several and maybe have a cache on one or two. And you really never go there unless stuff really, really hits the fan. And I agree. You're not damaging the property. You're not even building permanent structure.
You're trespassing.
Not, You are. Oh, this is not legal.
No.
But
survival.
Yeah, this is, and I'm not doing this either right now, but I'm actually considering it. But I mean, it really is like that 8 out of 10 or worse disaster. You know, if an EMP hits, if a virus that kills 10% of humans instead of 1% or whatever, or 0.1%.
If the economy goes to shambles and monetary dictators,
if
rise
nukes
up.
For some reason, some nukes hit freaking Guam. Okay, there's all types of things where it's like, man, I do not want to be in a city. I don't want to be in a suburb. I don't want to be in what's called an exurb or exo-urb.
But I don't have
I want
to
be
to
deep in some forest with a running water and a little and a small cache that I had and no one. And anyway, what I like about it is I feel like a lot of folks are going to go to the public land. Potentially. So you may have to contend with other people. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe you can link up with people. But generally speaking, in this situation, I'm thinking if you don't know the people already, they're going to be a threat. So what better than hiding out on some land that's already kind of mapped out and someone thinks, oh, you know, it's already owned. I don't know. I'm not the first person to think of this, I'm sure. I mean, damn, there's people that squat on 1,000-acre plots in the forest all the time. You know, the mountain man that's squatting there that they can't get rid of. There's a recent article about that. But this is, again, more of absolute emergency. Hey, you don't have $500,000 to build your own compound right now, but you got to survive. I think it might be a good plan, you know, plan D.
Might be a better plan than having a compound.
It could be. It's very flexible.
Compounds could be arrested, you know?
Yeah.
What they did in Ukraine when the Russians took over, or the Soviets took over, they starved out the Ukraine, where there was a lot of independence. The ability to go places, and I think you'd need to identify a cluster of properties within probably foot distance. Can't count on having any vehicles.
50 miles or less.
Where you go to your first choice as a bug out and attempt to camp and survive there. At least, you know, you're hoping until you can return to, you know, your real life and your real property after the, you know, disaster has passed. But if you can't, that first choice might not, you know, it might be occupied. That might be a bug out spot for somebody who actually owns it.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like you'll have less of a chance of running into people who are already defending their land if the land's for sale. Who's going to defend the land if it's for sale? Now, can't guarantee anything, and there may be other marauders or other issues at hand, but if you're deep in the forest or wilderness, whatever, it's a 50, 100 acre or more.
And property
plot
transactions
of land,
where this is are have ceased. Like, no titles and deeds are exchanging. It's that kind of breakdown.
Damn near Mad Max at this point, or, you know. Or at least for a few weeks, it's that crazy, and then no harm, no foul.
But if your primary choice is a no go because it's occupied or otherwise dangerous or unsuitable, maybe looking for a portfolio of matching properties matching your search criteria, where you can go to Plan B, Plan C, or you go to Plan C for a few weeks and come back to Plan A, right? Keep moving, keep don't stay too long in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So properties owned by corporations, properties for sale, larger properties where you can get into the middle of them and be out of sight from roadways.
Well, that's kind of what I've brought this up is I've been actually looking at these for purchase. And I'm like, man, I can't really buy more than 20 acres. Even that with a house on it might be out of my budget. But anyway, long story short, I'm really looking at the structure of the land. Does it have hills and is it wooded or is it a flattened prairie? I'd much rather have hills and wooded in this scenario. Easier to be seen if it's flat with no woods, just some grass. Yeah, you'd rather be in the hills and you'd rather be with some woods around you, I think, number one. But also some of the 20 acres might be really thin, right? It might be a rectangle and that's not good. That would mean you're still... It's hard to describe on radio, but a perfect square might be the best. You can go right in the middle and you'd be as far away from everyone as possible. But if it's a skinny rectangle that's really long, that's not as effective potentially because your standoff distance kind of on those narrow sides is not as good. Also, water. Is there water? You can find that easily on Zillow or any of these real estate sites. Hey, a creek's going through this area. Or there's already a well. Some of them have wells already dug. That's a little bit more likely that someone would be there later, probably. But anyway, I would just want a stream, some running water, some cover, and as square or as round, a perfect circle of acreage as possible to make it most efficient.
You know how many prepper authors have been out there saying how dumb an idea it is to try to say, my plan is to hit the woods and go hunt to survive, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a really dumb plan for anybody who isn't highly skilled at hunting. So your idea of bringing a cache, and understanding it's a temporary operation, but if you just got to get away from where you are, and no other plan has emerged where you had the wherewithal to secure your own property and rights to it and develop it and homestead it and get ready for a bug out location. This is a fallback plan. And there's a lot of listeners out there that don't have those things. If you listen to all the hosts on this show, it would seem as though all of us are, the homesteaders, right? But there's a lot of listeners who aren't. So we were just kind of brainstorming.
Yeah.
Based on, mortgages, searching for properties, what listings would look like. I think the way we came about this sudden idea during the 5-minute break was that you had considered, you are considering, getting some land now, but perhaps wait until.
I kind of thought, what if the stuff hit the fan tonight? Well, I know where like a bunch of nice pieces of land are.
You can't buy them.
I can't buy them. It's too late now.
After it hits, you can't buy it.
And you know what else kind of triggered this subconsciously as much as anything? A few months ago, I went running near where I live, and I went kind of into this. I live in the suburbs, but there's a little bit of a wooded park area, and I went to an area that no one goes to. I was running up a hill, running some hills, and I noticed in there was a tent. Someone was camping there, probably homeless or who knows what. And I'm like, damn, he's just like camping right next to all these houses. They got no idea. Camping in the middle of sight. And I'm like, no one even knows. So going out into like 100 acres, if you had a small footprint, again, this is not going to be easy as Ozer Highland. We saw how difficult just that is. But long story short, having a cache and having some basics set there could get you by for a week or a month. That's very valuable at that time.
Homeless are not invisible in urban and suburban areas that have thermal on helicopters.
That's true.
I've talked to police. They know where the homeless live.
Yeah.
They go. They check on them. They'll see two people glowing hot walking around at, They may be out of view of the rest of us, but from the air, the thermals, they're discoverable. So that is part of, you might want to dig in if you got to one of these properties and get, underground. So if you're being sought, remember, drones and helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft outfitted with forward-looking infrared are going to see, you and your friends out in the middle of that 50 acres. If they're looking.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, this is a little bit of a thought experiment as much as anything. But I'm like,
sure, there's a lot of downsides.
There's a lot of downsides.
But if you don't have anything else to do, and you know what? If you're listening to us and you're, happen to live in the Mountain West, where when you get outside of the town and head to the mountains, yeah, sure, everybody has that option because there's just untold square miles of land that no one's coming up there to find you on, right? Plots of land could be, 100-acre plot.
It's not even big.
Where you're from, Colorado, is a tiny piece, right?
Compared to some of the ranches, and yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, but if you're in Manhattan listening to us tonight and maybe are thinking about where in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, Vermont you might want to get to instead of that city, and if you're ahead of the news in time to execute a bug out safely, but I'm not have time to buy the property. I don't even have the money to buy the property. I just
credit markets are frozen anyway, probably, or bank holiday.
I just got to get out of the city because I might die here.
Yeah,
this is a viable plan. I think if we ran this by perhaps some of the hosts in this network, they'd be like, no, that's a, maybe not the way to do it. Right. Okay. Got it. You practice homesteading. You're already ready. I mean, you're teaching your skills on this network. We're kind of addressing a new, you know, maybe brand new to this network. See that they might need a plan. This would be not the optimal plan, but a survival strategy.
It is. I think it's an arrow in the quiver if you can get over the fact that, oh, you're trespassing on someone else's land. But again, you won't be doing this to go hunting and try to find a prized buck. This is because your life, liberty, and property are under attack, right?
Now, if you do have a bolt hole property, might be wise to go and also know situational awareness around your bug out location, which properties were for sale, which properties are undeveloped, which pieces of land are liable to not contain people that are supposed to be there.
Good point.
So just the strategy of understanding the title and deed of land near where you plan to be could be useful.
It is. We all have so much information now. We've been at our fingertips. We were so used to it, but you got to imagine when stuff hits the fan, even when power goes out or the internet goes out, all of a sudden, all this information is not going to be around.
Better have it written down. Better have it printed out. Know the names of property owners, because you know in a scenario where there's a lot of casualties, a lot of death. You know, some people that once were living on the property next door might not be there because you know they died, but now there's people there, so now you know they're squatters, right? So awareness of the property space, the ownership of land near wherever you are. Could be an important aspect of preparedness.
For sure, man, for sure. Well, that was impromptu, but we like to do that sometimes on Patriot Power Hour. We only got about 7 minutes left. We got were there any other news articles you wanted to hit on or any other thoughts or topics?
The Chinese collecting genetic data in the United States is linked directly to the potential for a bioweapon being employed.
This is one of the headlines on Future Danger that U.S. is or China is not just collecting genetic data. That's what the headline said, but it's genetic data in America.
Yeah, it's Americans' genetic data.
Yeah. So that's a whole. I mean, you know, maybe that wasn't self-evident in that. Oh well, who cares? China's collecting genetic data. Who cares? No, but it's of Americans. That's a problem.
And you apply it to artificial intelligence, quantum computing, CRISPR technologies.
Bioweapons.
Yeah, well, I mean, those things can produce bioweapons, right? You know, setting aside the speculation that COVID-19 is one of those. If it is one of those, it doesn't seem like it was ethnically targeted in particular, right? It's not, you know, it infects everybody. And other parts of the world will say it's much worse there than the United States. Latin Americans say that a lot. But Europeans would tend to say it's worse here, right? So, you know, I don't think COVID-19 was based on genetic data of target populations, but that's probably real, and it's probably way more dangerous than nuclear weapons.
Oh, I know, right?
If they can figure out how to get a disease that's, you know, highly lethal to just certain groups, do you want to sit at home thinking tonight that this is just Future Dan and Bangster Breaker talking about dystopia, just science fiction scenarios? I mean,
I wish.
This is the FBI and Counterintelligence Center, you know, stepping up warnings to U.S. businesses and universities about, you know, what they're doing in terms of what the Chinese are doing in terms of stealing technology. And some of these are, what would be the right term? We heard it a lot when in the buildup to the Iraq war, all the enabling technologies, the dual-use technologies that would help Saddam Hussein have weapons of mass destruction. Well, Chinese are doing the same thing for bioweapons of mass destruction right now.
Right.
On us.
On us. And it's being facilitated, actually, by folks inside America as well.
Hey, something else I want to touch upon. You were reading the gasoline price peaks indicator, mentioning that the economic gauge that draws from daily average, national average of gas prices, I think we pull from Gas Buddy. This was the question you were asking. What's the source of that? And the way our tool is built is there's a couple different sources. So if the primary that scrapes their website is failing for whatever reason, there's backups.
Oh, really?
That's and cool. There's some of our economic gauges that don't have a backup. So when they, for some reason, fail, the gauge will break or just cease to show because it's broken. But different gauges have a red zone of different proportion to the bar. Most of these price per whatever is the red zone is the top 25 percentile towards an all-time high, right? So at $3.39 a gallon, we are in the top 20%. I'm looking at the gauge right now. We're in the red, so we're in the top
quarter. Say the top 10% almost.
I think the value that sets the parameters of that bar is somewhere around $5.50, if I remember correctly.
Really?
But all of these work this way. And then there's other types of gauges. Certain ones are just measured in more is worse.
Yeah.
Higher numbers worse. So it just goes linearly that way. Sometimes it's a lower number that's worse. Right. Like the DXY, the value of the dollar, right? But some of these are just the change between the previous number and the other number. And you'll notice the gauges, they'll be like a tick mark line. And wherever the value is landing, if it lands on the wrong side, and you'll see how close it is to the bad side, the red. So all of these read worse from left to right, right being, hitting an all-time high bad figure. And just to recall, we had this in place for the March 2020 financial crisis, and some of these gauges were hitting all-time bad values, like stock market, percent change between sessions, right? The percentage change between sessions were so high,
right?
That was because the losses in those days were record losses. So that's how you read these things. But you would ask how, hey, it's hitting the red. I just wanted to mention, usually it's the top, on its way to the all-time highest price per gallon gasoline in the United States ever recorded. So we're not there yet, but it's definitely red zone.
Yeah, it's been ticking up almost every single week, slowly but surely. And this time of the year usually isn't the peak of the gas price season either. So, all right. Geez. Full hour pretty much is out of the way. Heck of a show. I thought we did pretty well. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Reach out to us again. Our contact information is in the description, but myself, Ben the Breaker of Banksters, at Bankster Breaker, and Dethrone the Banksters at gmail.com. What about you, sir?
At Future Danger, number 6. On Twitter.
Future Danger, numeral 6. And again, look in the description for all that. Last plug, prepperbroadcasting.com. That's where you can find not just us, but all these awesome shows, including The Next Generation, who's coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sticking with us on another awesome show, Patriot Power Hour. Future Dan, this is another great one, man.
Hey, Ben, real quick before we're out of here, pick an indicator that's cold right now on the heat map that you think will be hot next Tuesday on episode 159.
Oh, man.
TikTok.
Civil disobedience officially incited.
That's not likely to happen. Go to the top.
That's what I get.
Go to the top. I bet you we see.
Free speech abridged. That's almost every week. All right, guys. We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.